Our first scripture today is taken from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 10. And we're using the Revised Standard Version. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded thy precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping thy statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all thy commandments. I will praise thee with an upright heart when I learn thy righteous ordinances. I will observe thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. With my whole heart I seek thee. Let me not wander from thy commandment. Our second reading is taken from Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, also the Revised Standard Version. Now as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. This ends the reading of God's word.
Well, this is my first time doing solo sermon. Last time was with the pastor nominating committee, and I had a whole bunch of people behind me helping me, and we all worked together working on a sermon. This time, I was reading a document through my health studies, and it's referred to the book From Five Languages of Love. And I went, oh, I can see this being a good sermon. And I went to Betty, and I said, I think someone should preach this. And she goes, yeah, I think you should. And I went, not me. No, not me. I went to Pastor Susan. I said, I think this would be a good sermon. She goes, yes, it would be. Let me know if I can help you. So with that being said, I decided to stumble through this and try this out and see what it's like to be on this side of the pulpit instead of over there. So The Five Languages of Love is written by Dr. Gary Chapman. And a few of you have read this book. Cynthia said she had, and I think, Annette, you've read that. And what's really neat is Dr. Chapman talks about how to determine your primary love language and how to communicate effectively with other people, especially your loved ones or your partners or close friends. And these five languages are about the love you get and the love you give. And we're not going to discuss sex when we talk about love, so it's just the other kinds of love. But these languages are acts of service, physical touch, quality time, words of affirmation, and receiving gifts. So, as you noticed, there was this little pink thing in your bulletin, and there's a questionnaire, so it's going to be quiz time for you guys. What I'd like you to do is to complete these questions, because I'll be asking you a few questions. This is group participation. And what I'd like you to do is see which one fits best, A or B, B or C, or whatever the two letters are for your question. And then when you get to the bottom of the questions, total all your A's for the A's and all the B's and C's. And while you're doing this, Ben's going to play a little video for us to give us some music while we're waiting, while we're doing our totals. Hopefully you got through most of your questions on there and added up your totals. So on the back of your questionnaire is a little grid or table here, and I'm going to refer to that as we talk about our languages of love. And the first one is words of affirmation. So for those who answered all your questions, who had this as their most numbers? One, Susan? That's it? How about number two? Who had it as their second most? Oh, quite a few more. That's good. That's good. So words of affirmation, people, for communication, these are the type of people who like to receive compliments and give compliments. They like affirmation, and they like kind words. And these are the people who also, for action, like to send notes or receive notes and cards. What to avoid with a words of affirmation person is criticism. They do not like to be insulted or put down, and they'll get very defensive. So using words to affirm another person is a very important way of expressing love. Affirmations for a person's behavior, physical appearance, or personality. And a few examples are this. You look nice in that outfit. Words of affirmation is going to go, gee, thanks. That looks good. Thanks. Or you really know about sports. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Another thing is, I really appreciate you cleaning out that closet. I know it wasn't your favorite thing. So they know that you appreciated that task, that ugly task of cleaning out the hallway closet that has so much junk in there you don't know what to do with it. Our next person is quality time. So how many people had quality time? Quite a few more of you. And how about second most? All right. So the quality time person for communication, they're the ones that like one-on-one communication. They don't like to be interrupted, and they very much enjoy face-to-face conversations. These are the people who are going to say, let's get together versus chit-chat on the phone. Actions a quality time person likes is taking long walks together, doing things together, take a trip together. What to avoid with a quality time person is long periods of being apart. My husband's a quality of time person. And when I was teaching in Cincinnati or in Utah, he really didn't like that. And he'd be calling me every day saying, I miss you, I miss you, I miss you. When are you coming home? And I said, you know, it's 6 weeks. I'll be gone for 6 weeks. And the other thing that the quality of time person doesn't really appreciate is if you spend more time with their friends than with the partner. So if I told Mac, hey, I'm going to spend time with all my buddies, see you later, he's not going to like that too much. So in the vernacular of quality of time, nothing says I love you more like a full undivided attention. Being there for this type of person is very critical. But you have to really be there. And that's with the TV off, your fork and knife down, all the chores and tasks on standby. This will make your significant other feel truly special and loved. Distractions, postponed dates, or the failure to listen can be especially hurtful. Quality time also means sharing quality conversations and quality activities, not just watching the football together. Okay, our next one is receiving gifts. Who had this as their primary? No one's raising their hands. Stephen! That doesn't mean he's greedy. Who had it as their secondary? Okay. So receiving gifts, the communications for this person is positive, fact-oriented information. Also for actions, give a gift on a special occasion or also on not a special occasion. And what to avoid with this person is forgetting special dates, forgetting birthdays, anniversaries, maybe the day you first met. And don't make this person a materialistic person. This is not a materialistic situation. The receiver of the gift thrives on the love, the thoughtfulness, and the effort behind the gift. If you speak this language, the perfect gift or gesture shows that you're known, that you're cared for, and you are prized above whatever was sacrificed to bring you this gift, where the missed birthday and anniversary or a hastily thoughtless gift would be disastrous. So would the absence of an everyday gesture. The gifts are visual representations of love and treasured greatly. And another example is, say you're hiking with your grandkid, a small, say 4 or 5 year old, and you find a little agate on the trail. And you pick it up and say, "Here, I'm giving you this agate because it's kind of cool." I bet you that child will have it when he goes to college, saying, "My grandparents gave me this agate when we were hiking on this cool trip." They're going to remember that gift. Hey, next one is acts of service. Okay, who had this as their primary language? Anybody think it wouldn't be me on this one? How about second? Ah, it's a lot of you. So I'd say half the church here today is acts of service. So no one's surprised that that's me? Okay. So acts of service for communications. The action words are "I can," "I will," or "What else can I do?" The actions can be helping with the house or yard chores, repairs and maintenance, acts of kindness. What to avoid is ignoring the partner's request while helping others. So can vacuuming the floors really be an expression of love? You betcha. Anything you do to ease the burden of responsibility, weighing in on an acts of service person, will speak volumes. The words he or she most wants to hear is, "Let me do that for you." Laziness, broken commitments, and making more work for them tells the speaker of this language their feelings don't matter. Finding ways to serve speaks volumes to the recipient of these acts. I'm going to do another example. Gone to Costco. Loaded up my car. I get home. Come in with the load of groceries. Put it on the counter. Hubby's watching football. "Can you help?" Yeah, after this play. Go back to the car. Bring in another load. Go back to the car, finish unloading, start putting stuff down. "Oh, honey, can I help you?" How many are like, kind of steam blowing out their ears? That's us acts of service people. Why? Because they ignored our partner's request. Just using that as an example. Not that Mac has ever done that. Or maybe he has or not. I mean, he's going to take the fifth on this. The next one is physical touch. How many had this as primary language? And secondary? A few of you. So physical touch, the communication, it's a lot of nonverbal. And I'm going to guess Gail Kimball is this one, you think? Verbal needs to be picture words. Actions are touches, hugs, pats, kisses. What to avoid on a physical touch person is physical neglect or abuse. Can't say you have cooties, I'm not touching you. So this language, again, is not about the bedroom. The person who has the primary language of physical touch is not surprisingly a very touchy person. Hugs, pats on the back or holding a hand, and thoughtful touches on the shoulder, arm, the face, they can all be ways of showing excitement, concern, care, and love. Physical presence and accessibility are crucial, while neglect and abuse can be unforgivable and destructive. Physical touch fosters a sense of security and belonging in any relationship. And a small child's primary love language is physical touch. They have to have their hugs and kisses. But the problem with us older folks is, we sometimes forget that their love language might be changing, and so when they're teenagers, they don't want those hugs and kisses anymore because their love language might have changed to words of affirmation or or acts of service. So now we're going to go to the scriptures, because this is God's love. We've talked about all five types of love. And I'm thinking this all five types of love is maybe agape. Everybody has ways of expressing their love differently. God has a different way of expressing his love to us. So I'm thinking agape. So we're going to go back to Mary and Martha here. So we're going to listen to this and think of which is their love language. Now as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teachings. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." All right, so Martha, what do you think Martha is? Acts of service. Why? She's serving. She's in the kitchen. She's cleaning. She's doing platters of food and bringing to Christ and the disciples. So what's the one thing we're not supposed to do with an act of service person? Ignore the partner's request. Well, what do you think Mary is? Quality time. Maybe even physical touch, because she's at Christ, maybe sitting on the floor and putting her hand on his knee or leg, and she's just listening there. So she is just eating in this one-on-one time. She just loves this. Is that acts of service any of her priority? That's not her love language. So when Christ says Mary has chosen a good portion, it's not saying, this is my interpretation now, it's not saying Mary's decision to be with Christ to show her acts of love is better than Martha's. It's that Mary's portion of serving love is good, so it's not any better. So one's not more important than the other, it's just different. And I was always taught that Mary's was more important. But I now think, after reading Acts of Love, that they're equally as important. They're just different. I see some light bulbs going off. Let's do another scripture. This is Jeremiah 31, 1 through 3. This is the joyful return of the exiles. "At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness when Israel sought for rest. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with everlasting love. Therefore, I will continue my faithfulness to you." Well, this sounds like it's a God's gift to us. We are receiving grace. We have received God's everlasting love. God has faith in us. To me, that's a really an awesome gift. It's also an affirmation. All right, next one. John 5, 24 through 25. And a lot of you are going to see this and figure out what it is immediately. "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Very truly, I tell you, to me sounds like words of affirmation. I'm telling you this. We are going to have eternal life. That's my affirmation. And we will live. That's another affirmation. I think that's my interpretation. We'll do John 14, 16 through 18. And this is another well-read verse. When I ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he is in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. This sounds like a gift. I'm receiving the advocate or the Holy Spirit. It also sounds like words of affirmation. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. And he's saying the Holy Spirit will abide with you and will be in you. These are nice affirmations to know that I have the Holy Spirit with me at all times. All right, next one. John 3:16. Do you think I like John? We always call John the love gospel, so you'll see that I've picked a lot out of John. We could pick a whole bunch of others, but I'm sticking to John right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. To me, this is definitely a gift. This is like the most precious, awesome gift that God gave us when Jesus sacrificed for us. Definitely a gift. Next one's John 13:4-5. This one's kind of one of my favorites. When Jesus got up from the table, he took off his outer robe and he tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. Acts of service. He poured the water into a basin and washed the disciples' feet. This could also be physical touch, because he's touching their feet and they're getting them clean, washing all the dust from the day's travel. But he personally took off his robe and put a towel around him, and then he used that same towel to wipe the disciples' feet. This is, to me, a very precious act of service. All right, my last gospel is Mark, just because I thought you'd think it would be John. In Mark 10:13-16, the people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. I truly tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God is a little child, will never enter. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them and he blessed them. This is physical touch. People were bringing their small children to Jesus to be touched, to be blessed. They were craving that physical touch because they knew that was God's love, having Jesus touch their children. So we've kind of talked about the agape love. We've got the words of affirmation, the quality time, the receiving gifts, the acts of service, and physical touch. As you read the Bible from now on, you can try to figure out which type of love Jesus or the writers of the gospel were doing and seeing how it was received or given. So I want to put five languages of love as it applies to tacos now. So words of affirmation, your tacos are delicious. Acts of service, I made you tacos. Receiving a gift, here's a taco. Quality time, let's go out for tacos together. And physical touch, let me hold you like a taco. So know this, for your agape love, God knows you. God wants you. God loves you. Amen.